How many times have you talked to somebody and the subject of some religious matter of some kind came up, and the person that you were talking to had a question or a comment that you wished you could have handled a little bit better? That's happened to all of us, hasn't it? The thought couldn't come to us quick enough. We said the wrong thing, or maybe we just didn't have an answer. Or maybe somebody said something and we just kind of let it go on by, even though we knew it was wrong, but we didn't know exactly how to respond. I want to look this morning at an example of evangelism on a personal level from Acts chapter 8. If you want to turn there, I'm going to read the whole account of Philip and this Ethiopian man. Let's start with Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 25. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" He invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. He who will relate, his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water! What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, and Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. So we have the example here of Philip, where he was able to say just the right thing, answer the right question, to convince this man to obey the gospel that very day. So we can learn from his example, as brief as this account is, and learn some qualities and methods on how to personally relate to those that have spiritual questions that we run into. First off, a little background. Who was this Philip? He was one of the seven men selected in Acts chapter 6 that were to have the task of serving food to the widows in the church in Jerusalem. If you remember, the apostles were so busy with teaching and preaching and doing miracles and stuff, spreading the gospel, they did not have time to handle the daily administering of these meals for the widows there in Jerusalem. If you want to look over there in Acts chapter 6, if you just flip over a couple pages, in the first verse it says the widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. This wasn't meals on wheels that the government provided, which today we have as a wonderful thing for our community. I'm not knocking it in any way. And this wasn't a senior meal site like our town has, provided by an organization. This was the church cooking and serving food and sharing it with one another and other members on a daily basis. We can look back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 46 where it says, "Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart." And also Acts 4 and 32, "And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them." I wanted to just kind of lay that groundwork because I wanted us to be sure we understood and keep in mind what the church looked like at that time, and how Philip, this Philip we read about in Acts chapter 8, was a major contributor to this fellowship. When he was selected to help out with the daily service, he did not get selected because he was a good cook or because he had the right kind of cart to pick up all this food to take to the widows' homes, or he didn't have this cart or whatever, didn't have the special ability to go to the market and pick up the right provisions. He was selected because in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, Philip was selected because he had a good reputation and he was full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. That's why he was tasked with this special job of seeing to the needs of the widows. He started out serving the tables of the widows, and he probably didn't know it at the time, but he was preparing to do more. He had the right kind of background, and since he was living by the Spirit, which is an example for all of us, if we live by the Spirit, and he was ready when a strong persecution was raised in Jerusalem, and the church was scattered, including Philip. That's what happened just before this event. The Jewish leadership in Jerusalem had scattered the church. They had, it says Saul, who was later to become Paul, was ravaging the church, arresting people and throwing them in prison. And Philip leaves the city, and he goes out to Samaria. He went to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Jesus there. He didn't look at this persecution as a roadblock, like, oh well, we can't serve the church anymore since they've run us out of town. No, he went right on preaching and teaching the Samaritans. He found another way to serve the Lord. And even with the great success he was having there, it says there was a lot of reception, a lot of receptive people there in Samaria. He didn't hesitate when God called him away to teach one sincere, searching soul that we read about in Acts chapter 8. Another lesson we can learn from Philip was he had an unwavering sense of obedience. Just like when God told Abraham to get up and leave, and he's going to show you a new place to go to, Philip did the same thing. He saw the vision. The Spirit spoke to him, and he got up and went immediately. He didn't make any excuses. He wasn't like Moses, saying, well, I'm not good for this. I can't do it. Nobody's going to believe me. I'm not a good speaker. He didn't argue. There's nothing recorded about that. It says he got up and went. And you have to remember that we have this same calling, don't we? We read about it weeks earlier. The Great Commission you read about at the end of the Gospel accounts and also in the first chapter of Acts. So we have been called to go into all the world also, just like Philip was called. And since he was having such great success teaching the people of Samaria, this may have sounded like a weird or a strange or mysterious, why do you need me to go this 50 miles down to this road to find somebody? I don't think he really knew why he was going. He just went because God told him to. It was probably very unexpected, I would think. If he was having all this success in Samaria, it would have been unexpected that he was directed to go somewhere else. But he knew God had a plan. He trusted him, and he went on this long journey. If we're going to be effective workers for the Lord, we have to be submissive the same way that Philip was. We must, at all times and at all costs, be willing to do what God wants us to do and not what we want to do. Philip also had a willingness to teach one individual as well as many. When God commanded him to leave Samaria and travel this 50-mile trip and then teach one soul, he did it. Jesus was the same way. He gave us this example when he would often leave the crowds, leave the multitude, or he would focus on one individual and focus on their spiritual need, and focus on what they needed to hear. He did that because he loved the individual. We can think of many times, and one example we think of is when he approached the woman at the well in Samaria, in John chapter 4. We're not going to read that, but you remember back, he approached the woman at the well, and he asked for a drink of water, and it stimulated this conversation between the two of them, and he had this great message for her that we have recorded for us. In John chapter 4, the things that she needed to hear was because he took the time to talk to an individual. And because of that thoughtful conversation they have, She runs to the city and tells all these people about him, and many of those people become his followers. We have to understand that we don't always, 100% of the time, need to focus on teaching the masses. We need to spend just as much or even more time reaching one soul at a time. Reaching and teaching and converting one soul at a time. One soul is a big enough crowd to be concerned about, isn't it? We think about Jesus and the parable of leaving the 99 sheep behind that were safe to go find the one that was lost. I think too many times in the church we're comfortable staying with the 99 and just forget about that one because it's a lost cause. But instead, when you think of it as a lost sheep, it needs to be sought out and found. One other quality we can see from Philip is he was not prejudiced. Even though this Ethiopian man was a proselyte, which meant he was a follower of the Hebrew law, but he was not a descendant of Abraham. He was not Jewish, and he was not from Palestine. He was from Africa. And so when it came to the rules of like the temple and worship and things like that, he would still be considered a Gentile as far as things like entering the inner part of the temple. They had this separate courtyard for the Gentiles. This was the area for the Gentiles over here, the proselytes. He would have to stay over there because he was not a descendant of Abraham. And he was from a foreign nation. He was still faithful to the law. He was still, I think he was still justified in his actions before Jesus' death. But he needs to hear the new covenant now at this time, doesn't he? But Philip was not prejudiced. He didn't let that stop him from speaking to this man. We think of another time it took a miracle of a vision to convince Peter to teach the gospel to a Gentile family in Acts chapter 10, didn't it? Peter was a little more hesitant. He didn't want to quite go to the Gentiles yet. He wasn't quite ready for that. And it took a vision from God to convince him. But there's no indication here at all that Philip hesitated when he went up to the chariot to teach the Ethiopian about Jesus. Also, there was a different class there. This Ethiopian would have been very high class. Philip was not. Philip was just an ordinary man. But that didn't stop him from approaching this court official from the queen. So we don't ever need to think of ourselves above another's need for the gospel. Galatians chapter 3:27. Maybe you've already turned there. For all of you who are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Jesus clothed with Christ in baptism. We all look the same. There's no variation in hair color. There's no variation in skin color. Male or female. When we are clothed with Christ, we all look like Christ before God. And that's what this Ethiopian man needed. He needed to be clothed with Christ that day. And so he could be one. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. He became a descendant of Abraham that very day. Even though physically he was born in a foreign land, he was not a descendant of Abraham. He became a descendant of Abraham that day when he obeyed the gospel. Because it says in Galatians 3:29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendant. We sing the song at Bible camp with the kids. Father Abraham, Father Abraham, I'm son of Father Abraham. I don't know how it goes, but because we're all heirs according to the promise. We must be the same colorblind people that Philip was when it came to sharing faith that day. And also, he'd been dealing with Samaritans, so we all can see that he obviously did not have any prejudice in his body, and he was willing to share it with everybody. Okay. We all need salvation, just like the Ethiopian man needed salvation, because all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and yet God's power to save is for everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. That's Romans 1:16. Last thing, Philip also had a sense of urgency. Not only did he not hesitate to make the journey, when the Spirit told him to join the chariot, he ran up to meet him. Did you catch that? He ran up. He didn't drag his feet. I don't know if I'm ready for this. I don't know. He ran up to meet him. When was the last time you ran up to meet a stranger that seemed to be curious about the Bible? We kind of hesitate sometimes. I don't know if I can say the right thing. We need to be like Philip and run up to meet the chariot. So what was his first action? Did he first start off telling him he was wrong about something? Did he start preaching to him about the five avenues of worship? Well, Mr. Ethiopian, you need to sing and you need to offer prayers on the first day and you take the Lord's Supper. He didn't start off with that, did he? Did he start off with his favorite sermon? I don't know if Philip had a favorite sermon or not. I don't know. You know, Jesus had common themes in all his teaching. The first thing he did was ask the question, wasn't it? He asked him, do you understand what you're reading? Oftentimes a question is a good icebreaker, isn't it? Especially if the question is not too pointed or too leading or too personal. If it's a generic question like this, it's a good icebreaker. It gives a person an opportunity to bond with them, to relax. The simple question of, do you understand what you're reading, was good enough to get the conversation started. Not only does a question often work as a way to open the conversation, but it shows real concern, doesn't it? When Philip said, do you understand what you're reading, the Ethiopian official understood that Philip was wanting to help. Because he immediately asked him, well, how can, unless somebody helps me? If we would do the same, if we would ask the right questions and show concern about the lost souls all around us, many will realize that we are willing to help them. We said it before, it's a common saying, people don't care how much you know until they know that you care. So that's something we need to keep in mind. Philip let this Ethiopian know that he cared about his understanding of the Scriptures. We can see that Philip knew the Scriptures very well. He didn't hesitate when the official asked him about that particular passage in Isaiah. Philip immediately knew that that Scripture pointed toward Jesus. That was a prophecy about Jesus. And so he was able to use that to begin his lesson. It would have been a totally wasted opportunity if Philip had said, well, I'm not real sure about that. That's kind of one of those questions. I don't really know. Philip didn't say that. He knew how to apply that Scripture. So he didn't waste the opportunity. And he didn't give him the incorrect information either. He knew the correct information to give this man. To be effective evangelists, we must also know the Scriptures, just the way Philip does. Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14. Concerning him we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature who become, or because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So there's lots of thoughts there, isn't there, about how valuable it is to have a better understanding of the oracles of God, the Bible. Because we need to get past the point of knowing Bible stories. We know about Noah and the ark. We know about Moses crossing the Red Sea. We know about David killing Goliath. We know all these things. We need to move on beyond these elementary principles and understand how they apply. We need to have a better grasp on the nature of God, and because there's more to Christianity than to being able to remember these stories. And there's more to sharing the gospel than just simply quoting scriptures. We need to know how they apply. When we have that deeper understanding and are growing more intimate with His Word, it trains our senses to know good and evil. That's what it says right there at the end of that scripture from Hebrews. That solid food is for the mature who become, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. When we train our senses through practice of reading the Scripture daily, reading about it, immersing our whole life in the Scripture, we have our senses trained to discern good and evil. And lastly, since Philip did have a good working knowledge of the oracles of God, he was able to move from this Scripture in Isaiah 53 and was able to preach Jesus to him. We read about in class this morning how Jesus, after he was resurrected, was speaking to his apostles. He went from Moses and explained all the history of the Old Testament up to his death and crucifixion, explaining how it all worked together. So Philip did the same thing here. Philip did not, he simply preached Jesus to him. Philip did not preach the gospel according to Philip, or a bunch of think-sos and maybes and feelings. He taught him about God's eternal plan. He taught him about the events of the past few years of Jesus' ministry and his death and his crucifixion and his death. It doesn't say that here, but we have to understand that he had to have taught this man about this, because the man immediately knew he needed to obey the gospel, because he wanted to obey, he wanted to be baptized that very day. So Philip went from Isaiah 53 and taught him the gospel and taught him all these things about Jesus. He preached Jesus to him. The account of Philip and the Ethiopian recorded for us in Acts gives us an example of just how important one soul is to God. He miraculously directed Philip so that he would have the opportunity to meet this man, convert him, and then send him back to his home country, when hopefully this man was responsible for making other conversions and growing the church, as we say today, growing it organically. Not mechanically, but spiritually. Growing it spiritually and organically through the creation of more and more followers of Christ. This man went on his way rejoicing that day. So I'd reasonably assume that he was eager to share this same gospel with many of his friends and his family when he got back home. We need to be like Philip and be ready at any moment to ask the question, do you understand what you're reading? Or do you need some help with a spiritual matter? And then from that point, preach Jesus to those we meet. The church is only going to grow when the members grow spiritually first. We need to grow into the walking, talking examples of Christ, being clothed with Christ in our neighborhoods. And so if we feel like we're not quite up to the task, like Philip was not, he was up to the task. And if we feel like we don't have a firm enough grasp on our beliefs to share with others, I would urge you today to please correct that and work on gaining the confidence you need to be a useful worker in God's kingdom. If you would.